90.3.
This is New York FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Hi there, this is 90.3 Near FM. I'm Declan Ralph and welcome along to the Week in Review. Now, as usual today, I'll take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. So I'll be looking beyond the stories that you usually hear about, and instead I'll feature stories about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. I'll feature stories too about groups that represent and advocate for minorities in our community and further afield. And, of course, we'll have those local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like me to feature something on the programme, you can contact me while the show is on the air. The text line is open. It's 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. You can email weekinreview@near.ie. And you'll also get me on Twitter, @NearFM, @DeclanRalph, #WeekinReview. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Ken. Is Beaumont about to become the new high-rise capital of Dublin? It's official, the best banana cake is on the north side. A swords cobbler from Artane retires, crime rates on the north side are going back up, and Baldoyle United on the north side, good. Shamrock Rovers on the south side, bad. Well, maybe not, and Ken will explain shortly. Now, DCU's Water Institute is teaming up with Earthwatch Europe for the second Dublin Water Blitz, which takes place between the 7th and 10th of May. The project encourages Dubliners to test the water in rivers, canals, lakes and streams around the capital so that a snapshot of the health and state of Dublin's waterways can be taken. Ken will be talking to project lead Dr. Susan Hegarty on how you can take part in all of that in about 10 minutes time or there or thereabouts. Just after one then, Sarah will be along to take a look at the local virtual events taking place over the new next few days. And after that, over the past 25 years, the month of May has become closely connected to artistic and creative opportunities for older people through the Beltane Festival. The Arts Initiative, hosted by Age and Opportunity, celebrates the arts and creativity as we age and provides opportunities for older people to be more creative more often. The festival is Ireland's largest cooperative festival and has inspired celebrations and festivals to take place across the world since it first began here. With events taking place in a very different way this year, what will Beltane 2021 look like and what's in store for people to look forward to over the coming months? Well, to find out more about that, at about 1:15, Sarah chats with Dr. Tara Byrne, who is the Arts Programme Manager and Artistic Director of the Beltane Festival. Now, before we finish them, each week on the programme, I'll let you know about the jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. Local Stories with Ken Kilbride. Hi Ken, and welcome to the programme. How are you today?
I'm very good actually, thank you very much.
Good, good. Now you've got...
I should say.
I'm good. Now we have some interesting stories today, and the first one is a question. Is Beaumont about to become the new high-rise capital of Dublin?
Well, probably the quick answer to that is not without a fight. Artane Whitehall councillors have asked Dublin City Council to write to the Clan Housing to stop any progress on the development of a housing project on the Thatch Road. The development, which has been led by Clan Housing on behalf of Dublin City Council, is located in the car park of Holy Child Church in Beaumont. People know that if you come down the M1, it's at the very end of it, just before you turn onto Collins Avenue. So this has been aimed at older people currently on the council's housing list and people wishing to downsize their homes. However, the project has been subject to controversy, with local residents and councillors saying that Clan Housing, which is a subsidiary of Clwyd Housing, that the Progress age-friendly housing projects had not consulted with the community. So Social Democrat councillor for the area, Patricia Rowe, said that local residents first began raising concerns for the development when they saw the scale of the project when it was revealed. Everyone was surprised at the height of the proposed building at 7 storeys. It seemed a bit intense for that site, being intended for older folks, and no one was expecting it to be so high. And then just down the road, probably familiar when you go down, take a left, be honest, very simply, it's a 3 or 4 minute walk from this site, you get to the old site for the Beaumont Fruit and Veg Mart. And so there's a recent proposal gone in there for 100 apartments, 2 blocks, but one of the blocks with 8 stories. So if you went and stood on both of these at those particular heights, you could actually wave to each other quite handily. And it'll be, so that it'll be dwarfing everything that's there already. Now, I know I should have said at the very start, I live in Bowmount, so I do have an interest in this, but I don't see both of these happening without a lot of consultation with local residents before they go ahead.
I think so. I think there'll be a bit to play out on that yet. So no doubt you'll keep an eagle eye on it from the lowly part of Bowmount that you live in. And I don't mean...
From our two-story
from your two-story house, as in low-rise as opposed to lowly is probably a better way to put it. Now it's official. The best banana cake is on DNS.
Indeed it is. So Drumcondra student Roisin Gallagher is enjoying the sweet smell of success, having been shown as the overall winner for the recent nationwide search by Fifes to find a new dessert that has a banana as its key ingredient. You might remember when we went into lockdown at this time last year and we could go no further than 2 kilometres. Banana bread became the new national sport, to be honest. So they invented something called National Banana Day. They had a competition last year. So this year they sort of upped the game a little bit and it's now coming up with a dessert that uses bananas. But I do think Roisin probably has a little bit of an unfair advantage over the rest of us. So she's currently living at home in Drumcondra with her parents while completing her master's degree in food innovation and design with Technological University Dublin. She's also back from recently studying in Paris and Naples. She's a qualified dietitian and she has worked in Temple Street for a number of years. She does admit herself having a passion for food and cooking. And as long as I can remember, always enjoyed baking, particularly my mum and dad. In more recent times, since lockdown, my passion for food has now expanded into food photography as well. Also, just to let you know, another category in this competition as well, Kirsten Meehan, she's from Stony Batter. She won the Vegan Banana Cake Award. So, congratulations to both of them. But in terms of Roisin, her cake is a banana and caramel layer cake. And she got inspiration on a recent trip to Hungary as well. And what she says, as its core, very thin layers of banana sponge infused with banana, chocolate and cream ganache, all topped off with caramel and hazelnut praline. Actually sounds very good. But I'd say to both Roisin and Kirsten, who are probably both listening to this, samples can be sent to the Week in Review, Near FM, Bunratty Road, Coolock, Dublin 17.
Very good. Yeah, and I'm starving now. Can't wait to get me lunch after hearing all of that. Absolutely. Sounds gorgeous. Sounds gorgeous. Now, a swords cobbler from Artain retires. Does he hang up his boots?
He does indeed, actually, yes. So we're talking about Artain native and well-known cobbler Dermot Gagan, and he's set to retire today. And he'll finish up on the shop in the main street in Swords, which he's open and ran for 21 years. So born and bred in Dunnycarney, he still lives in the family home on Gracefield Road in Artain, where he and his late wife, Patricia, reared their 4 children. Sadly, Paula died in 2005, and one of their sons, Francis, also died at a young age, both from cancer. Young Dermot went on to work at the age of 14 in Dunwells and Raheny, where he served his apprenticeship. And that's one of the things that has sort of attracted me to this story. My father was brought up in, Lark Hill, Whitehall himself in quite, tough circumstances. And at the age of 13, he was offered 2 apprenticeships, one being a cobbler and one being a chef. His mother said, "Take being the chef. At least you'll always get fed."
Good advice.
Good advice at the time.
Yeah.
At 19, say Dermot went on to work in George's Street. He also ran his own shop in Ballymun for a number of years before ending up in Swords. The shop is going to be kept on by Brian Kinsler, and he's going to retain it as the cobbler. He's going to work on it from next week. One of his daughters said, "Dad has 3 children still with him. He's a total of 15 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, another one on the way. He's been a great family man pre-COVID. We all used to meet in the house in Artain, and despite the family going, we all managed to fit in and be fed. So possibly he could have been a chef as well." Michelle noted he built up a great rapport with the people in Swords over the past 2 decades, and he was a great sponsor of the Swords Tidy Towns. He always supported charity fundraisers, most notably St. Francis Hospice in Raheny, which looked after both his wife and his son. But she said he fixed lots of things. He didn't just do shoes. He did handbags, suitcases, leather jackets, buckles, anything that could be done. And he celebrated his 7th birthday recently. So Michelle said he's off to the golf course earlier this week, and that's where he intends to spend most of his retirement. He has great intentions of doing up the house, but I wouldn't hold my breath. I think the golfer will win out. He does loads for us and he does loads for other people, but he seldom does it at home. He enjoys a pint of Guinness after a game of golf, And he's a member of the Blarney Stone Golf Club, which has their 19th would be the Goblet in Artane. So I think you have to say after 15 years in the business, he's retiring undefeated.
Great. Very good. Well done. Now, not so good news for the north side. Not something you want to have on the up. And that's crime rates.
Indeed. So a Dublin City County Councillor has said this should be a wake-up call for the government. So Sinn Féin's Dáithí Doolan, and he's chair of the Dublin Central Joint Public Committee, was commenting after four of Dublin's Garda stations, including three on the north side, which were Cabra, Coolock and Clontarf, all accounted for the biggest increase in the figures. So in Cabra, drugs were actually the main reason, with a 28% increase in 2020. And though there was increases in thefts and public orders, crime rates in Coolock were up 8%, and crime rates in Clontarf were up 12% against the 2019 figures. Just looking at it overall, and nothing taking a holistic view of it, but in 2020, a third of Garda stations reported increase in figures. However, there was 37,000 fewer offences recorded nationally. So what you find in times of, you know, national crisis, things like the pandemic, and the war and things like that, figures tend to go down as we all sort of stick together. So again, it's interesting that some places have gone up, some places have gone down. As I say, there was overall a 17% reduction. So why it's gone up in particular areas and gone down in particular areas, I think we get a sociologist on the show for next week.
Yeah, hard to know. We probably won't figure that out. Now, hopefully you won't need a sociologist to figure out the next one. Is Baldoyle United on the north side good? Shamrock Rovers on the south side bad? Well, maybe not. Why not?
Indeed. So the Northside Football Club, Baldoyle United, has announced an official affiliate status with the League of Ireland champions, Shamrock Rovers. Both clubs, of course, wear green and white, and the announcement was made last weekend, just before the return of non-contact training for under-18s. It'll mean a number of benefits for the United, Baldoyle United, including coaches from Shamrock Rovers working with their counterparts in Baldoyle to develop coaching techniques to a professional level for both the boys and the girls' teams. So again, it's something they've been working on a while, and they're saying it's taking a couple of years to come together. They're very happy to do it. And obviously just Shamrock Rovers said, you know, we look forward to the partnership and welcoming the people from Baldoyle out to the game nights in Tallaght Stadium, which is, you know, I think that's going to be a bit of a trip, but you know, I hope they make it out there.
It will. It'll be a little bit of a trip, but you're a little bit of an excursion, as they say. A little bit of an excursion. Yeah. Thanks a million, Ken. Happy May Day, and hope you enjoy the day off and the extra long weekend. And thanks a million.
Workers Unite.
Yeah, Workers Unite. And thanks a million for all the stories today, as usual. Thanks.
And Ken will be back in just a minute. After this next piece of music, Ken will be along to have a chat with Dr. Susan Hegarty about from DCU's Water Initiative about the Dublin Water Blitz. This coming straight after this piece of music.
Indeed, that was Michael Bublé, and he was having a beautiful day. Hope you're having a beautiful day too. This is Near FM. Hi there, I'm Ken Kilbride with Declan Ralph and Sarah Birmingham, and welcome back to the Week in Review. Don't forget, if you have a story you would like us to feature on the programme, you can contact us on text. That's text 087-69-44500 or email weekinreview@near.ie. DCU Water Institute is teaming up with Earthwatch Europe for the second Dublin Water Blitz, which takes place from the 7th to the 10th of May. The project encourages Dubliners to test the water in rivers, canals, lakes and streams around the capital so that a snapshot of the health and state of Dublin's waterways can be taken. I'm now joined by Dr. Susan Hegarty, who's the project lead from DCU. Hi, Susan. How are you? Welcome to the programme.
Thanks a million, Ken.
Thanks very much for coming along. So just before we have a chat about the water, could you tell me something about the Water Institute in DCU?
So the Water Institute in DCU is a university-wide research institute, a centre of excellence, more or less. Everybody that is interested in water and researching water. It's a fabulous place, actually, just to get involved with other colleagues who may be from other parts of the university. And we've got a number of research projects going on, both research, scientific research, citizen science projects that actually make a huge impact on Irish water and on the looking at the quality of water in Ireland.
So again, this is the second year of the survey. So how did it go last year? Because that obviously just we've been straight in the middle of COVID times.
Well, we actually didn't run it last year. So we first had our first water blitz back in September 2019, and that would have meant that we were hoping to run it in September 2020, but we made the decision at the time that given the situation, given the fact that everybody was, you know, had to be socially distancing as we do now, but the situation was a lot more severe back in 2020. We made the decision to not run it then. So we've been looking forward to this, and it's been this anticipation for 18 months to get back now and to do it in 2021. But in 2019, we had a huge response, like we have had this year around this year. And it was really insightful to see how, first of all, how people were engaging with that, how people wanted to get involved in looking at water quality in their local areas. And the results that we got back were amazing. And so we're really excited about next weekend.
Indeed, one of the things you were obviously just mentioning COVID there is that, you know, PPE is now becoming an issue. And this is one of the things you're asking people to start looking for.
Exactly. And this actually, back in May 2020, we had a very small litter survey, getting people to look at litter. And one of the things that was being picked up was the fact that there were a lot of PPE face masks that sometimes might have just been falling out of people's pockets and were ending up either on the roadways, or particularly our concern is within rivers. And one of the questions that we are asking our citizen scientists to report is the presence of PPE within the waterways. Just again to get a snapshot as to where the issues are, so we can then focus on recovering those.
Well, indeed, one of the other things, I mean, it is sort of, you're looking at a broad range of things, and one of the things you're looking for people is to test for the level of nitrates and phosphates. Again, I would have thought, you know, a river like the Shannon, you know, where there's lots of farming alongside of it, when you compare that against a river like the Liffey, is phosphate a big issue or nitrate a big issue in Dublin waterways?
You'd be surprised. In general, the amount of phosphates and nitrates varies hugely, and they are a natural occurrence, but the issue becomes more significant because obviously phosphates and nitrates are naturally occurring in soils. And particularly during heavy rainfall events, that soil at times gets eroded into the waterways, and therefore phosphates and nitrates end up in the water. There's also an issue, particularly around Dublin, with misconnection of drains. So that's the pipes not being connected to the right places, and therefore at times even the leaky pipes allowing wastewater into the rivers. And so, again, being able to pinpoint where these issues are, but by our team of citizen scientists picking up, going out and actually collecting water samples and feeding back the risk of the phosphates and nitrates, will give us an indication of where those issues are. Again, so we can remedy them, so that we can actually close that circle.
Indeed, one thing you mentioned there a couple of times, and it is actually one of the things that sort of attracted me to this initiative, is the term citizen scientist. So what's a citizen scientist, and what are you asking people to do?
So a citizen scientist is basically somebody from the community, anybody at all, that is interested in finding out a little bit more and in getting involved in a research project with others. So this particular project, as you say, is we're partnering with Earthwatch Europe, which is a track record in citizen science, and being funded by the Royal Bank of Canada to engage locals, communities. We've got community groups involved, Swords Tidy Towns are involved, Biodiverse Bad Digger are involved. So all of these people, as well as just locals who, what's really interesting actually, is a lot of families who, parents who might want to do something with their kids and introduce children to the ideas around the environment and actually being able to capture data correctly and in a scientific method. And all of these people are following the scientific method. They're following the same methodology, all gathering data around one project at a particular time, and that they're feeding that data back to their smartphone, an app on their smartphone. They're feeding that data back to us, and we're able to then report what the findings are in real time. And in fact, they can see it in real time as well. So once they take a sample and they input that information onto the app, they will get a reading and get feedback as to how that fits in with other samples around their area.
So again, if I'm, you know, I'm listening to this here now and I think this is a great idea, I want to take part, I want to become a citizen scientist, but this event sort of begins next Friday. So what do I need to do today, tomorrow?
So today and tomorrow, we actually launched this about 2 weeks ago, and the response has been overwhelming. So we've at this stage, we have got as many kids as we can possibly factor out. But if people want to become citizen scientists, I would encourage them to email us at waterinstitute@dcu.ie. So it's waterinstitute, all one word, @dcu.ie. And let us know, and we can put you on the mailing list for the next one. We may actually also have some way of capturing, because at the moment, as I say, we've sent out test kits to the 300-plus people who are going to be taking samples over this weekend, over next weekend. But there may be opportunities for others to get involved in another way that isn't just testing the water using the nitrate and phosphate kits.
Indeed. So, I mean, just I was just thinking to myself, you know, if you take the River Liffey as an example, you know, it starts in Wicklow, goes through Kildare. So if you lived in somewhere like Leixlip, which is literally on the border, could you take part in it, or do you have to just live in Dublin?
No, we've actually opened this out from beyond. So we're calling it Dublin Water Blitz, but it's for Dublin and beyond Dublin. So we've actually got people, like you say, in Leixlip, in Lucan. We've got people in Naas. We've got people up in Louth. We've even got people in Inishowen. There's a water group. The Inishowen Waters Trust are also getting involved just to get that snapshot. So by Monday 10th, we're going to have a snapshot of water quality in the greater Dublin area, plus a little bit further afield.
Okay, well, thanks very much for coming along today, Susan, tell me all about it. Just very quickly to wrap up, if someone wants to get more information about the initiative or the Water Institute itself, where would you find that?
If you just Google DCU Water Institute, the easiest thing is to Google DCU Water Institute and you'll get all the information there.
Brilliant, Tom. Thanks very much for that. I really appreciate it, Susan. Hope it goes well for you next weekend.
Thanks a million, Ken.
All right.
Thanks, Ken, and thanks to Susan. Very interesting project, Ken, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. Well, I mean, water is an essential resource for everybody in the city, and, you know, unless we know a bit about the health of it and the state of it, we're all living a little bit in the dark, I'm afraid.
We are. Indeed, we are. Thanks a million, and thanks for the stories earlier on again as well, and sure, we will chat to you soon, no doubt. Thanks a million.
No problem.
Now, still to come on the Week in Review, Sarah will be here just after 1 p.m. with a look at the local virtual events taking place over the next few days. Then she's going to have a chat after that with Dr. Tara Byrne, who's the Arts Programme Manager and Artistic Director of Bealtaine Festival, about everything that's happening there. And before we finish too, I will squeeze in the jobs and volunteering opportunities from activelink.ie. So all of that to come in the Week in Review.
90.3. This is Near FM. Near FM.
And welcome back to the programme. I'm Declan Ralph. I'm here with Sarah Birmingham and Ken Kilbride. Now, if you'd like me to feature something on the programme, you can contact me while the show is on air. The text line is 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. You can email weekinreview@near.ie, or you'll get me on Twitter @NearFM, @DeclanRalph. #WeekInReview. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the programme.
Hey, Declan. Good to be on. Thanks.
Yeah, great. Great. It's great to have you here. So we're going to look at the events coming up over the next couple of days, the virtual events still. We're getting there, but we're not quite into having big gatherings just yet. The first one you have to tell us about is the opportunity to join Richmond Barracks and get started on growing at home.
Yeah, so I think, you know, over the last year, obviously, we've all seen new ways of doing things. And, you know, some of them might continue on, certainly this summer. You know, there's lots of interactive online ways that we can get involved in things without, as you say, having to kind of join in big groups or anything like that. So Richmond Barracks, we spoke about them before in the event section. And from 1 o'clock this coming Tuesday, it's the 4th of May, Richmond Barracks and Dublin City Council Culture Company are hosting a free 4-week experience encouraging green-fingered enthusiasts the chance to try out growing at home. Their eco-gardener in residence, Polly Rowley Sams, will guide participants in the basics of planting and gardening in the course, which is going to run in separate sessions from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock and from 4 to 5 on Tuesday afternoons over the next couple of weeks. So as she says, no matter what space it is that you have available, whether it's a garden, a balcony, windowsill, or even up the walls, she's going to help you get started with growing at home just in time for the summer season. So she's running the workshops. They're unique, they're interactive Zoom workshops, and really, I suppose, a chance, you know, to engage with her directly, chat to her, ask her any questions that you might have. And she's going to cover topics including the basic tools needed, planning out what you need to grow, and how to plant and take care of your seeds as well. So all the basics covered to get you going. The workshops are best suited to people who are either completely new to gardening or who are novices and maybe who want to expand their knowledge and learn a little bit more. So if you're interested in those, you can sign up for just the 1 week of May or for the full 4. The places are free, but they are limited. So she does recommend that you book in advance. And to reserve a space, you can email Kate on cultureconnects@DublinCityCouncilCultureCompany.ie. It's kind of a long one. Or if you check out Dublin City Council Culture Company, you'll find all the details on their site.
Deadly. Yeah, and it's that time of the year, isn't it, for getting out into the garden and doing a little bit of the green finger work, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're looking forward to a little bit more sunshine on the way, hopefully, as well, to get us all going.
Yeah, hopefully. Now, I always thought, Sarah, that I was a baby boomer, but I am obviously in the Generation X cohort. You'll have to explain that, I think.
Does that, would you see that as a win? Or?
I do. Yeah, I would. I would. Yeah, because the baby boomers were before Generation X, from my limited knowledge of this area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. So according to this, anyway, new series that's coming up with the Museum of Literature Ireland, they're determined Generation X as individuals who were born between 65 and 85. So typically kind of people who would have, you know, come of age in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, when you think about that generation, then maybe you are a better place to talk about them than I am. But certainly an interesting kind of time. You know, you think about kind of the last couple of years, obviously been through the recession, the troubles, the peace process, the Celtic Tiger, and even COVID now as well, I suppose, yeah, can be added to that list. You know, the experience of that, I suppose, as an adult, really kind of and maybe in line with Ireland's evolution as well, because I know kind of Ireland, I suppose, came of age, you know, a little bit in that sense with the likes of Italian 90 and everything like that kicking off as well. So this is kind of a discussion, a chance to kind of have a little think about that and reflect on it a little bit. It's going to be hosted by Professor Barry McRae and writer Katrina Lally, and they're going to be having a chat from 7 o'clock this coming Wednesday evening. As I mentioned, it's hosted by the Museum of Literature Ireland, and they're kind of hosting a series of chats, really looking at some of those moments that have defined that generation, and chatting about people's work and the way that some of those moments, maybe in some of those events, kind of influenced their work and influenced, you know, their lives, really. So Katrina Lally, her debut novel Eggshells was shortlisted for the Newcomer of the Year Award at the 2015 Irish Book Awards. And she's back this year with her second novel, which is going to be published by New Island. And then Barry McRae, he's a professor and a novelist, and he's currently finishing off a new novel as well. I think this is an interesting one, looking at the lives of people in a Dublin suburban cul-de-sac from 1982 to the present day. So kind of links in well with the topic here. The pair will be in conversation, as I said, from 7 o'clock this coming Wednesday evening, and the best way of accessing that is to go to the What's On tab of moli.ie. So that's the Museum of Literature Ireland.
Yeah, and they've spent a lot of money on that recently, obviously, and I've been dying to go and see it, and every time I've been able to go and see it, we've been in lockdown, so it's been closed. So that's,
well, I hope it's been, yeah. They might have that season online, but we'll be looking forward to getting back in soon.
Absolutely. And it backs out onto the Ivy Garden, so it's a beautiful, beautiful location. Yeah. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it. And I'm looking forward to hearing about the Generation X, because I fit into that. I think there can be debate over what years apply to what these various cohorts and names they give them and so on. But I'm delighted to be in Generation X today. Sure. Yeah. Now, I suppose this guy I don't think would quite squeeze into Generation X, but Christy Moore, he might be slightly outside it. And but the opportunity is coming up to enjoy Christy Moore in our living rooms.
Yeah, that's it. That's with thanks to the National Concert Hall. And again, I suppose, look, concerts and kind of indoor events like that might be a little bit longer coming back. But for the time being, certainly we can kind of have them beamed live into our own living rooms. Hopefully the sunshine is on the way back as well. And, you know, it might be a nice opportunity just to kind of relax and enjoy concerts that they have on. They've lots of varied events on in their programme. Tonight is the exclusive live stream concert from the theatre, which is going to celebrate Christy Moore's contribution to music from his recent chart-topping release, The Early Years, which was released before Christmas, to the many hits he's produced since that 1969 to 1981 period, which the release covered. So when you think about Christy Moore, you know, it brings lots of different things to mind. He was a founding member, of course, of the bands Planxty and Moving Hearts. And, you know, he penned that song about Ireland's famous trip to the 1988 European Football Championships. He's, you know, he produced the song The Voyage and sang it over the phone on a special production that was part of the RTÉ Just Comic Relief production last summer. And I think, you know, that was kind of a unique moment, I suppose, of the lockdown, in inverted commas, for people. So it might be an opportunity maybe to catch him in concert again. And as you say, from that slightly older generation now, so lots to look back on it. It might be a matter of catching him in concert while you can, you know. So it's taking place at 8 o'clock tonight. The tickets are priced at £16.50 and they're available through the nch.ie website. And the deal there usually with the websites, tickets from nch.ie, is that you can view the concert back for 48 hours from the start time. So anytime essentially tonight, tomorrow, or Monday up to 8 o'clock as well, you can have a look. Great. Back at the concert.
Yes. Super. Yeah, and Christy Moore always gives a good performance, as we know. He puts his whole heart and soul into it, so it's always guaranteed to be a good evening. Now, something I'm getting limbering up to get doing myself next week, this day next week, in fact, I'll be up nice and early. I'm sure maybe you might be as well, Sarah, Run from Darkness into Light for Pieta House.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, Declan, it might be a matter of still being up from the night before, possibly. But yeah, it's next Saturday. It's mad how quickly it's come around already. And, you know, an iconic annual event for Pieta House. Still one that's taken place virtually, but they've really embraced that. They've gotten together with Electric Ireland and they're inviting people across the country to join in wherever you are to take a picture of the sunrise in your area and share it on social media to be part of the overall community out early in the morning, raising funds and sharing a little bit of a sense of kind of hope, I suppose, really. And, you know, pertinent at the moment, especially this week with the promise of brighter days ahead, really. I think we can say that, you know, and of course, this event does go towards supporting Pieta House in their work to prevent suicide and self-harm. So a nice event, a serious cause as well. And to join in the day, you can just go to darknessintolight.ie. You can share your sunrise photos on social media using the hashtag DIL2021.
Brilliant. Yeah, it will be a lot of people out that morning and it's a very early start. All right. Yeah, definitely. But I'm going to give it a go. Now, this kind of opportunity that you're going to tell us about next rarely comes along. We don't often talk about things that are on the telly or on the other radio, but this is something that I think is worth mentioning because there's a great opportunity as well.
Or in Wicklow, for that matter, Declan.
Yes, pushing the boat out.
We're allowed to intercounty travel now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Might be up for a little bit of a trip. And yeah, look, it's a totally different one. Disney are, of course, people might have heard, bringing their movie magic to the picturesque village of Enniskerry in County Wicklow this summer. And they've put out the call for extras to take part. So, you know, if you've been kind of an amateur dramatics treading the boards or, you know, a wannabe film star, this might be your opportunity to take part in the production of Disenchanted, which is the sequel to the popular children's movie Enchanted. I'm very intrigued to see what Disenchanted is going to be like. They're building a huge film set out in the village in Enniskerry, and they're set to take place with the filming. They're set to kick off in May and run until August. So all happening quite soon now. Clock Tower Productions are behind it, and they've announced the casting call this week. They say they're open to everybody. Diverse casting submissions will be accepted for all performers, anyone who's interested in being an extra there and seizing their opportunity maybe to be a Disney movie star should go to movieextras.ie, and you can find out a little bit more there. And if you have your appetite whetted for some movie magic, you can register your interest as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's an opportunity that won't come along too often. So yeah, you heard it here. movieextras.ie. We did push the boat out. We went right past the south side all the way out into Wicklow. And we covered something that's probably been covered in other areas as well. Thanks a million, Sarah, for looking at all those virtual events today.
And Sarah's staying with us. She's going to be chatting to Dr. Tara Byrne about the Bealtaine Festival just after this little piece of music from Neil Diamond.
This is 90.3 Near FM. I'm Sarah Birmingham. I'm here with Declan Raff and Ken Kilbride, and you're very welcome back to The Week in Review. Don't forget, if you have a story you'd like us to feature on the programme, you can get in touch this year by text to 087 69 44 500 or by email to weekinreview@near.ie. Over the past 25 years, the month of May has become closely connected to artistic and creative opportunities for older people through the Bealtaine Festival. The Arts Initiative, hosted by Age and Opportunity, celebrates the arts and creativity as you age, and it provides opportunities for older people to be more creative more often. The festival is Ireland's largest cooperative festival and has inspired celebrations and festivals to take place across the world since it first began here. With events taking place in a different way this year, what would Bealtaine 2021 look like, and what's in store for people to look forward to over the month? To find out more, I'm delighted to be joined now by Tara Byrne from the festival. Thanks a million for chatting with us today, Tara, and just telling us a little bit more about what's in store.
Thanks, Sarah. It's great to be here. So yeah, this is our 26th festival. We didn't get to have a proper celebration last year, so we tried to make it an extra, I suppose, special festival this year. It is online, but there's tons for you to do. And I suppose we think of Bealtaine as a movement as much as a festival. So it's really about connecting in with the, I suppose, like-minded people. So we hope that you will come to our music events, our dance events, our literature events, our visual arts, and we've got a load of discussions this year. And you can join in any way you want. So there are things that you can get actively involved in. So we're doing workshops, there's music, there's singing workshops, writing workshops, and visual art workshops you can get, as I said, absolutely creative with. And there's discussions that we hope you can take part in and challenge us and challenge the people who are driving the discussions. And those are actually on really interesting topics, I think, for those people who aren't art heads, if you know what I mean. So these are on the politics of care in Ireland, which has been a really big issue over the last year. We're also looking at the identities and growing older as an LGBTQIA plus person in Ireland. So lots of issues there. And we're looking at whether the cultures determine our attitudes to aging. And we've got an international panel talking about how aging is perceived in their countries. So there's lots of stuff that isn't just straightforward arts things. But then if you're interested in dance, there's a really lovely project by a company called Instant Dissidence, and it's kind of on an ecological theme. So Rita Marcallo is an incredible choreographer. She's leading that, and she's looking at, it's called As If Trying Not to Own the Earth. So, you know, the way the world is quite possessive of the resources of the earth, and we're all very much more aware of climate justice now and green issues. But she's been trying to tread lightly on the earth and also, I suppose, think about the exchange of information that happens between different generations, honouring older generations and the wisdom that they can impart. So her part about, she's learning how to grow food by working with community growers in Ireland. She's learning how to preserve and to produce food by working with chefs and bakers in Ireland. And then she's dancing them. She probably is dancing them. She's teaching them dance moves in exchange for her learning. So there's a two-way exchange going on. So that's a really nice project.
That's a really interesting videos one, isn't it? You can keep up. Yeah. You get that sense of the festival being a movement, I guess, for people as well. You know, it's really grown over 25 years and inspired festivals and movements across the world as well, you know. But what was it like to kind of bring it online? Like, hey, can people take part in it this year? What's different? What's still there?
The best way is to look at the website. It's boring to say that, but bialtina.ie is where everything is stored. So if you want to look, there's literally hundreds of events already, because as you said earlier, Sarah, it's a partnership festival. So it's not just events that we program, but we have a really committed group of people around Ireland who program for Bialtina too. And that's what makes it special. So you will see all of the program, all of the national program, as well as our own there. So click on the What's On section. And obviously this year, it doesn't matter where it's on, because it's, you know, we're accessing it online. So actually you could be in China and be connecting into a Bialtina event, but we really hope that people based in Ireland will. If you want to create your own event, it's not too late to do that. So we'd really encourage people to do that. And you go to the registry, you register your event. It's a bit like Culture Night for anyone who's participating in Culture Night. You register, put your information on the website, and it becomes part of the festival and other people can see it there. So I suppose that's the most obvious ways to get involved. But in terms of a participant in the festival who's going to the festival, I guess, rather than making an event for the festival, I think we have a really good selection of things that you can sit back, you know, with a tea or a glass of wine and enjoy as an audience member, with other things that you can actually get engaged in that I mentioned earlier, like the workshops and the discussions. So we have a theatre piece as well, and I suppose that would be a classic sit back and enjoy it by an incredible theatre maker called Michelle Reed, and she's working with Brian Keegan, a composer. But it's called On a House Like a Fire, which is, I think, is a really interesting title. It's about her mother, Margaret, and it's a really beautiful personal reflection on her. And Margaret got dementia in later life, so it's a very, I suppose, poignant look at a life well lived, and then also the, you know, certain challenges that arose later on. So I think that's a really lovely piece to sit back and watch. I think the dance piece very much so too, but the literature, which I haven't mentioned, we've got Paula Meehan, one of Ireland's most popular.
People might have seen her on the news this week. I know she read a poem recently there, I think. Really interesting piece, yeah.
She's amazing, and she's so positive, and she's so community focused. Because we work a lot with the Irish Writers' Centre. They're really brilliant. And there's a group called the Bialtina Writers Group. They've been meeting for nearly 20 years, I think, if even more. They kind of met during the Bialtina Festival, saw that there was a shared interest in writing, started meeting there, and they've published a number of books of poems themselves. But we invited them, as we do every year, to connect in with our Bialtina Book Club author. So Paula is the Bialtina Book Club author. And she did a workshop with them, which was based around her own work. And I suppose for us, As If By Magic is the name of her latest anthology. And it's a really beautiful collection of her work over the last 20, 30 years even. So that's a real focus. And actually you can get involved that way too, because we have a book club, an online book club, around that book, where we're trying to encourage discussion. And Mia Gallagher is an interesting writer. She's actually driving that book club, which is based on Paula's work, if you know what I mean. And Mia's also going to be doing a public interview with Paula. But actually there's an RTE, the poetry program this weekend is featuring, with Olivia O'Leary, is featuring Paula. So there's a nice kind of taster of her and the Bialtina Writers Group. We've also got Elaine Nicquillian on, obviously another very well-known poet, and Enda Wiley, again, another really community-focused and very popular, really convivial poet, who are doing an interview, I suppose, exchange, and that's called Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. It's a series that we run, which is, again, trying to look at the learning that's passed from one generation to the other. And it's an honouring, so it's really an honouring of Elaine.
There's so many learnings. I think even just, you know, we feel like we're kind of emerging a little bit now, like from the events of the past year and everything. But if people would like to get involved, to take part, or to find out more about what we've been talking about, then just remind us of where the best place to go for that is.
So please just go to the Bialtina website, which is bialtina.ie, bialtinae.ie. And just, I mustn't forget to thank our funders, the Arts Council and the HSE, who've been really supportive to us over the years.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much. We definitely encourage everyone to go to bealtaine.ie. I think there's something there really for everybody. You know, the events that you've mentioned, there's great food for thought there and lots to enjoy as well, which is the overall message. So thanks so much, Tara, for telling us a little bit about that today.
Thanks, Sarah. And thanks to Tara, too. Now, before we finish, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. And this week, in fact, there's 17 requests for volunteers and 322 job offers, believe it or not. Now, LGBT Ireland is looking for a digital promotion and marketing intern to help develop and deliver their digital media content. The digital marketing intern will play a vital role in designing and delivering a social media content to highlight support and advocacy issues for the LGBT community. The internship is a voluntary position for one day a week for 6 months. You'll get €20 per day. That'll be paid to cover the volunteer's expenses. The hours of work are flexible and the day commitment can be spread out across the week. And if that's something you're interested in, well, you can send a copy of your CV and some examples of your work to Claire. That's Claire with an I, C-L-A-I-R-E, at lgbt.ie. And the closing date for that is the 14th of May. Now, the job on offer this week, the Daughters of Charity Community Services, DOCCS, are located at 9 Henrietta Street in Dublin 1. They're a community-based organisation providing a range of educational, training and social care services for children, young people and adults living in Dublin's north inner city. And they're looking to recruit a healthcare assistant. There's an application form you'll find on activelink.ie, where I get all this information. And you have to submit that with a cover letter by email to Louise Mullins at recruitment@docs.ie. Or you can send the post the old-fashioned way to Louise Mullins, HR Manager, Daughter of Charity Community Services, 9 Henrietta Street, Dublin 1. And there's a note here that they will not accept CVs, so go to the website and fill in the application form. And the closing date for the receipt of the completed application forms is the 9th of May. Well, I can't believe it. That's the end of another Week in Review. That's it for this week. Thanks a million to Ken and Sarah for all their help during the week and for their contributions today as well. Don't forget, in the meantime, if you've an item you'd like me to feature, well, you can contact me on weekinreview@near.ie. You'll always get me on Twitter, @NearFM, @DeclanRalph, #WeekInReview. And we'll all be back at the same time next week. So for now, from me, I'll see you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.